Hello, 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 and welcome to Candrastations. I am your host, Kandra Thomas Bell. Candrastations is a podcast where we dive into authentic and organic conversations with real people about their remarkable life experiences. Our goal is to empower and inspire as we explore the diverse paths of self-discovery, healing, and self-care that leads to overall wellness. So stay tuned for today's episode. Hello and welcome again to this episode of Candrastations. I am your host, Kandra Thomas Bell. Today we have a friend to the podcast, Miss Shamika Mickey. Shamika has a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling from the Alabama State University. Yay! Go ASU. She is a national certified counselor and associate licensed therapist. She is also a veteran who is currently serving in the Army. She's a content creator. She is known as the underscore trendy therapist. And she loves to expressing herself through fashion. Without further ado, we'd like to invite Shamika to have a conversation with us today regarding how empowering self-love and cultivating a positive body image can boost your self-esteem. So, Shamika, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, welcome.
Oh my God. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your time. We thank you for sharing the podcast space with us to just kind of help people. You know, we're shifting gears a little bit to kind of give them some uplift on positive body image and boosting self-esteem, especially with the climate of what it looks like to have positive body image. So, where would you like to start, or what would you like to share with the people?
I think I want to start with the body image. I think it's a big thing now, more so now because we have social media.
Right.
So everyone is on social media. Everyone is like, oh, I want my body to look like this. You know, this girl got it going on. This chick got it going on. But I think a lot of times, although that person physically may have it going on, we don't know mentally what that person is thinking.
Come on now.
Now we, you know, this is what we do, because, you know, as we were coming up, we was the age of social media, right. So we've seen it evolve to what it is now, but at the same time, we don't know what these people are going through. And as I get older, and, you know, some of these people I do follow, and I follow mm-hmm. their stories, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be on social media depressive. Mm-hmm. To upkeep that, and a lot of time they neglect their mental health,
right?
And they have these absolutely. Breakdowns in private, which they don't share publicly,
right? Absolutely. I think that's kind of why I like the podcast being audio, because it's not so much pressure. People have to find outfit, they got to put it together, and it's okay to do all of those things, but I think this is a relaxed space for people to be able to express themselves without all of the extras. But we are probably gonna go video, but just throw that out there.
Come on with the video.
So can you share some maybe strategies or practices for cultivating self-love and boosting your self-esteem?
One thing that I think when I hit 30, it's like mm-hmm. everything changed when I became 30.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was. I do know what it was. I really stopped looking at everybody else and I started looking at Shamika.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. In my 30s, like, I have been loving the 30s. The 30s have been amazing. And I think for me, with 30s, I started taking control of my own life.
Right.
I stopped allowing... Never that I really allow people, but, you know, sometimes we can allow people's opinions mm-hmm. to dictate what decisions we make, whether it be in relationships or whether it be in our professional growth. I started taking more accountability for myself and doing things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm not getting your opinion, but it's like, Shamika, I need to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I
let me just tell you, the 30s is wonderful. It's the eye opener, but the 40s.
It's 43. I'm almost there.
It's a game changer.
The 40s just to be now.
I like to say that the 40s is the promised land, you know, because the in the Bible, they was in the wilderness for 40 years. But once you peek over on the other side and see it's the promised land, it's a whole different ball game. So just keep on coming. You right there. You got a lot of wisdom already. So tell me about how did you start to step out on social media and doing the trendy therapist thing. What does that, having that platform, mean to you? What do you want people to gain from that? Because you give some great tips on how to shop and how to shop reasonable, how to put things together. Share a little bit about that journey for me.
Okay, so social media, it started off, I always liked clothes, so even in college that the Alum State University.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked clothes. I mean, ever since I was a child, I always liked clothes. And interesting, I was very shy as a child.
Really?
I was very shy. Oh my gosh. Did not like to speak in front of people. I always up under my mom, my grandmother, my aunt. And what changed, honestly, in college, freshman year, I had a public speaking class. That's what changed everything. Where I knew I always wanted to be a therapist. I knew if I want to be a therapist, one day I'm going to have to be able to speak in front of people, not just in a session, but maybe it's an engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So that really got me out my shell. And the fashion thing, at first it was just my personal Instagram page.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As I started growing in my career, because I like to get dressed up for work, I wanted a representation of more women that look like myself.
Absolutely.
And I felt like that is, I think a lot of people are like, oh, there are so many black therapists, but we're really only a small percentage. It seems that way, but we're not that big.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a field, because it's primarily a still white dominated field. So mm-hmm. I wanted, you know, little girls, wherever they are, black girls, to know that, okay, you can still be a professional and still have your own style.
Absolutely. Not like when Dr. Lee used to say, ladies, no shirts to the ground, men, no pants.
And you know, Dr. Lee, even she is still one person I can call in this journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still talk with her. And a lot of things she told me stuck with me. One thing she always said, she's like, Shamika, when people meet you, before you open your mouth, they look at you.
Yeah.
Your first impression is everything when you go somewhere. So I always think about that, even in a professional setting, mm-hmm. how a person sees us is maybe what type of opinion they may draw from us.
Right. And that's very true. When you think about the changes you've made and the things that you are doing in your career, have you seen that we are more expressive in our dress? Does it make a difference when you're doing therapy? How we show up?
What? I don't think it makes a difference. And first of all, I have to give Kendra some praise right here. Because I was living in Alabama, and I called Kendra because I was very miserable, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Very miserable with my career because I felt very stuck. And mm-hmm. I reached out to her, or you, and one thing you told me was like, you like, girl, you need to move. I'm serious. You told me, like, girl, you need to move. And honestly, when you told me that, and we would check in with each other, you know, I really, mm-hmm. I started my job search.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked for a place in Georgia and Florida and Texas. And, you know, Georgia is where I landed, but I do have to give you some praise for that. For just encouraging me, because, I mean, I think someone else, like my friends, like, oh, why do you want to move? Why do you want to move? But I needed someone who was going to give me that push that I needed. So that I could and do great.
Yeah. I would say, you know, having a support system where people believe in you and they know your gift and they want to support you in your growth is very important. So I'm very intentional about, hey, let's do this, let's do that. That's why I was like, okay, let's, you want to be on a podcast? Let's step out here together.
I have been listening.
And we pull everybody out because we worked hard to get where we are. We are definitely trying to build self-image, self-awareness, self-love about what you do, the career you chose, the place you choose to live, all of the things, because we, depending on who's in your circle and your ear, you can get stuck and don't even know you're stuck because of the influences that are in your life.
Yes, you said something then, for sure.
So, congratulations.
Thank you. But you're right. You can't get stuck because, like, I am from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I've traveled, but I've never lived, you know, anywhere. So when I moved to Georgia, I had some college friends like you and some people that I went to ASU with, but primarily I had family here.
Right.
But I will say that it was scary. I always tell people, I do things scared, but I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do it scared, but I'm going to do it at the end of the day. So when I moved here, I started at Lee Iredell State Prison as a therapist, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just started growing. So I started meeting all these different, you know, these different professional people and people that look like myself, women that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
It's empowering to meet women of color that's in therapy because we don't see that often. And then it just went, you know, it sparked my interest. And then I started meeting women that would, they was not going to let me be stagnant. They kept pushing me to do other things, to get involved in things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Been wonderful.
That's a beautiful thing. I want to talk about two things. One I want to say is, what are some, or what do you think are some common societal or cultural factors that contribute to poor self-esteem or body image, and how we can navigate and overcome that part?
Oh, wow. I think in our community, poor self-esteem, I think coming from the Black community, you know, some of us was raised as, you don't talk about your feelings, you know? You just move on. Or just pray about it. Now, I do pray, I do understand now as I'm an adult that, okay, the pastor, the minister is going to do his thing, but we might need a mental health professional to help us with that other avenue in our life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I would say, once you start your self-love journey, and this has been my own self-love, self-positive body image and all the things, once you start to really intentionally start doing the work mentally, then you start to fall in love with who you're becoming, who you fall in love with. In the process, you start doing things. If you might start wearing your hair, if you might cut it off. And in my world, I locked my hair, which was, society said, quote unquote, professional when I was in school way, 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 way back when, that your hair had to be straight and it had to be well groomed and it had to look like other cultures. And that was the perception of professionalism. And
correct.
So changing my hair and getting out of that ideology of it got to be this way for it to be professional. We are such a beautiful culture as an African-American that we get to embark on all levels of beauty as we defined it ourselves and as it makes us feel comfortable in our own skin. So what I'm finding is, as we step into self-love, you may want to go to the gym, you may want to be vegan, you may want to be, for your blood type, you may want to be a runner. All of those things contribute to your self-esteem and boosting it up to help you develop what works for you. There's no right or wrong way to increasing your self-esteem or self-love. But first, you got to start doing the work and look at the blocks and thought processes that block you from even going down the journey. Because it get ugly before it get better. I mean, would you say?
Oh, yeah. What you say? What you say?
It's go ahead.
You saying something? It do get ugly. I tell people you got to fall a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I say, oh yeah, it's gonna hurt. But that's how you get better.
Mm-hmm.
You get better when you keep falling down. But then you have to have that determination. Okay, I fail, but I'm still gonna get back up. It's like riding a bike.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is that we do for the first time or driving, eventually you learn how to control that vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And
we learn how to control our life, or we gain control of life if we have allowed someone or something to have that control.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to drive your own lane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I found, you know, I would start, stop, weight loss journey, start, stop. And then I finally landed where I'm at now, and it's been a beautiful thing to just admire yourself. One of my previous guests, Kiara Doty, she says, stand in the mirror naked and talk to every part of your body that you do not like, and speak positive affirmations to every part of your body that you may do not like. And appreciate your body for being there to support you, to love you, to get you to work, from work, to your kids' events and all of that stuff. And start speaking more positive to your body. And so when I started that journey, because at some point, I don't know when, I stopped looking at my whole body. I was looking at my head and things got out of control. And so we got it together now. We talked to the whole thing, including my feet. But that was a part of the journey of just self-discovery, looking at everything. And once you start to look at yourself, not from a place of, oh, I wish this was better, but in a place of appreciation, I think that is a self-esteem booster, and it opens up avenues to help you heal emotionally there when you can talk to your own body.
Sometimes as our society, let's say if we grew up small, whatever size we were, and you know, it may have started at home where we've had that family member.
Mm.
And you know, you go to a family function,
mm-hmm.
or somewhere and say, instead of saying, hey, how you doing? Well, you done gained weight.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been eating? And I think as a culture, we don't understand, especially if we're dealing with an internal thing, with that way, how those words can be and damaging. Especially if we're embarking on trying to lose weight, but you're like, of course, mm-hmm. we know these things about ourselves, but it's like almost like you're just picking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am enjoying being a therapist now in my full authentic self. I often now, my therapeutic dress tends to be an affirming t-shirt. I shout out to Tease for Life, because I normally get a lot of their tees. And personally, she and that t-shirt girl, she's in Selma. They have these affirmation tees that give these boosts to your self-esteem. So a lot of times I will wear them for therapy, so it'll give a boost to my clients. I'll do it with a blazer, and they're like, Miss Kendra, what's your shirt say today? And I said, well, I wore this, I looked at my list, and this is the shirt for the day. And if I got a bunch of people that ain't doing right. My listen to your therapist shirt is on.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
The simplistic things, you know, or some of them that just big on self-love. Because if I got a lot of women that are struggling in that area, that might be the shirt for today. Or either I got one that says, I love me some me. And just kind of giving the subliminals, because we are holistic in all of this. They see us, they hear us, they know us. And then there's some messaging in the package of therapy too that I like to present to some of my clients. It's not always, but that's kind of a thing that makes it really easier for me to start a conversation sometimes when they're having a bad day. So
I think you're right, Kendra. It's easy. One of my clients told me, and I never thought about it, she said something to me after. She said, you know, Shamika, she said, real is rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think clients, when you know, of course, you know, when we're trained in school, we're trained to do this, but when you really start developing your own style, and I'm not talking about these theoretical approaches. Of course, we still do that, but we do it our own way. Like, you show up as Kendra, show up as Shamika.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they receive that. And typically, it goes well with building the rapport.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else would you like to share with the audience today about our topic?
The biggest thing with self-love is the first thing I would like to share with every woman, you know, women of color, women, men, whoever, is really looking in that mirror and recognizing your flaws. Because it's hard. It's hard to look in the mirror and say, okay, you know, these are some things I need to work on. These are some things that's not going well. But I think that's the first step. Because if we keep denying it, then it goes into other things. It starts going into our relationships. And we don't think about the things that we have not worked on going into our relationship, but it does, and it shows up.
So,
you know, actually acknowledging it's okay to not have everything together. Nobody has it all together.
Right, absolutely.
But just working, you know, being honest with yourself and working on those things. I think for myself, and as a culture, we're really hard on ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're extremely, and I think it's because, you know, we always have to do things two and three times as better. Which we can be thriving in our professional life, but mentally, we're stressed out. We're overwhelmed. We're burned out. And people see it as strength, and it's not strength. We're struggling in that area. So, if I could tell anything, one thing, if it's something I don't want to do, I don't do it.
Oh, that's me.
It took me a while to get to this point. But if it's something that I don't want to do, I don't do it. If it's something, you know, internally, and I've had that feeling that it's not a good thing for me, or a person is not a good person for me, I back away.
Absolutely.
And I don't explain why I back away, because I believe in choosing me first.
Absolutely. Because the company you keep can affect your self-image, your self-esteem, your self-worth. If you're not doing your own emotional mental work, because words have so much power, and if you haven't built up your affirming bank for yourself, somebody else's words can penetrate in places that they probably shouldn't have. So I'm a big advocate for affirming yourself and affirmations and those types of things to kind of help build you up yourself. And I was thinking about this when you were talking about the body images and the family members and stuff like that. A lot of times, if you're someone who has struggled with your weight, people say, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, or you didn't gain weight, like you said, at the cookout. But then on the other side, I got a friend of mine who is very small, and people, you don't realize the things that you say to people that are smaller that affects them too, because it's missed sometimes. And we just have to be more cognizant of what we say to people in terms of their size, big or small or medium. Yeah. Even somebody who has a perfect shape, but that they may be shy and they don't want you talking about how shapely they are, because we just have to be aware of people and how they perceive their own. So wait for them to say something. And then ask them, especially if it's negative, is that something that you're struggling with? Is that something that you're working on? To kind of help them navigate that thing and not just assume that just because they're small, they're good, or just because they're curvaceous, they're good, or just because they're bigger, that they're good. We all need to have that same awareness of people are dealing with things internally that we do not know in terms of body image.
You said something that was important just a minute ago. I think it's important for us to, when something is triggering us, to let that person know. Because I think some people do not know what is a trigger point.
Right. Absolutely.
For us. And I think letting them know, they know, like, okay, that's something that I should not say to him or her. Or something that is something that makes them feel very uncomfortable. Because most times, if we don't say anything, they're going to continue saying it and thinking it's okay, and it's really not okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So hopefully our listeners have gotten some great information about, what to do for themselves as far as positive body image and, being aware of the thoughts and how they speak to their body, as well as the conversations that other people are having around them that can penetrate their own thoughts if they're not, in a place where they're realizing that it's there. What other thoughts do you have before we close out our conversation today on positive body image and self-esteem?
I think with positive body image, or I would say for women, try some clothes that you may have never tried before.
I like that.
To get out your comfort zone. Because sometimes we stick to a style because it's comfortable for us. Mm-hmm. But just go and try something. Just try something. You don't have to buy it. Just go and try it on and see how you look. Mm-hmm. And, it may spark that boost, or, you might feel sexy in it, whatever emotions. It's like what I tell people working out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, find something that you're going to want to work out in. That's going to make you want to go to work out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because if you feel grumpy, you're going to go work out, but you're not going to be as motivated because now you're feeling good and you're looking good.
Mm-hmm. I know when I put on my matching sets and go work out.
Right!
Picture me, please.
And then, compliment yourself. It's nice to hear from other people, but, look at that mirror and say, I look good. I look sexy. This is what's going on. My butt looking right today. Whatever it is that you my face is pretty. I like my hair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not always depending on us to build ourselves up, but we have to build ourselves up first.
So, Shamika, I want you to give the people your handles if they want to follow you for some trendy tips or whatever you want to provide so that they can get in contact with you. You're licensed in Georgia, Alabama, or both?
In Georgia. Hopefully, okay. Alabama here.
All right. So, we have another therapist that is out here doing the work, and she's doing it fashionably well. So I'm going to let her give you her handles everywhere if you want to follow Shamika.
Hi. So on IG, most of the fashion stuff is just on Meek Stane Living. And the therapy stuff is the_ trendy therapist. That's where I talk about fashion, but mostly mental health, primarily for women of color.
Okay. Give them the spelling for Meek Stane Living so that they can find you.
Okay, so it's MikStaneLiving. Okay.
All right. And so, again, you can find me Instagram mostly and Facebook at I Am Kandra Thomas Bell. And so thank you guys for listening to this episode of Kandra Stations, and we thank Shamika for coming and giving us her valuable information about being trendy and being a therapist.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Thanks. See you next time.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to today's episode. I am signing off. This is your host, Kendra Thomas Bell, and I just like to let you know, if you are in need of therapy, I am a licensed therapist in Atlanta, Georgia. You can reach us at dynamicchangecc.com. If you would like to find another therapist, you can try Therapy for Black Girls as a directory. You can also try Clinicians of Color as a directory. And if you are looking for a male therapist in the metro Atlanta area, please reach out to Counseling Brothers of Atlanta for your therapy needs. We look forward to helping you through your journey. This is not a substitute for therapy. We wish everyone to have an individual and a collective journey for therapy, healing, and self-discovery. So thank you for listening to Kendra Sessions. See you on the next episode.